Businesses win locally and globally. More at bankofamerica.com/gamechangers.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle in the heart of Wildcat Country near Emporia. Richard Porter supports the variety of music heard on KPR and believes listeners' financial contributions are vital to continuing Kansas Public Radio's mission.
90 degrees in Lawrence, feels like it's 96. We have an extreme heat warning till 8 o'clock Saturday night. It is 6:06.
It's all
from the University of Kansas. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. 6:36, we will talk about the dangerous heat dome that has been sending temperatures spiraling throughout much of the nation. We will talk about what the city of Chicago has done to try and help its residents deal with the heat. We'll also learn more about what's going on with the crowded skies over the USA. Airlines carrying more passengers than ever, even while operating fewer flights than they did 20 years ago. It's testing the limits of the system. We'll tell you more coming up on KPR. Our mission at KPR is to provide listeners with quality arts and information programming across Kansas and beyond, and that is why we need to hear from you. Take our annual media and technology survey and let us know how you consume news, music, and entertainment. Your response will allow us to better understand your needs and habits and help KPR serve the community in the best way possible. You can take the survey and make your voice heard at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
86 degrees in Manhattan, feels like 94. 87 in Emporia, where it feels like 92.
Support for NP.
Iran's oil exports have been under sanctions for decades. Now, as part of an interim agreement, the U.S. has lifted those sanctions temporarily. Some energy experts are surprised.
This would be a win for its new leadership. It's a win for the Revolutionary Guard.
What does it mean for Iran? That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Tomorrow, Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Pony Express began and Jesse James met his end. More information at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri.
Up next, we have news headlines. It is 90 degrees in Lawrence, but it feels like 96. Got some heat sticking around for the next couple of days for much of the KPR listening area. The time is 6:30.
Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Washington.
And you are listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Kansas lawmakers want to know whether the state's child welfare laws should better reflect different needs of children at different ages. Legislators suggested separating policies for infants, young children, and teenagers, arguing that different age groups require different approaches. State Representative Susan Humphreys of Wichita says two children could have very different needs, despite having the same problem.
A truant 6-year-old is different than a truant 17-year-old. So I am very much interested in hearing suggestions.
Humphreys suggested looking at other states to see how they are handling the same issues. Leaders in Wichita and Sedgwick County are exploring the possibility of establishing a law school in Wichita. Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett says fewer students in Kansas are attending law school, and that translates to fewer attorneys working in rural parts of the state.
If you live in one of those rural counties and you haven't, you don't have access to an attorney, or you have access to one county attorney who just got out of law school and frankly has never tried a case, doesn't know what, how to try a case, the ability to get justice in your community is diminished.
There are currently only two law schools in the state, Washburn in Topeka and the University of Kansas in Lawrence. Bennett urged elected officials to push for a campus satellite in Wichita that would be affiliated with an existing law school. Leaders say the next step is a feasibility study, which could provide data for the Kansas Board of Regents and partner schools to evaluate. A grocery store could soon return to downtown Kansas City, Kansas. Sam Zeff reports that the unified government is set to approve a lease on Thursday.
If the lease is approved by the entire UG Board of Commissioners, new tenants will take over the old Merck Co-op at 5th in Minnesota. The UG has been negotiating the lease with Santa Fe Grocers since April, when the two sides agreed to a letter of intent. The lease calls for the UG to contribute $150,000 to remodel the building, which it will own. Santa Fe's rent would be $5,000 a month, plus 3% of the net profits. The company has an option to buy the building in a year. The Merck closed after only 5 years, saying the business was financially unsustainable. I'm Sam Zeff.
And Lawrence, Kansas has been touted by CNN Travel as one of America's best towns to visit. As the U.S. celebrates its 250th birthday, CNN Travel has published a top 10 list of American towns to visit in 2026. Lawrence came in at number 9. The article gave the town high marks for its downtown shopping, nightlife, and intriguing history. An extreme heat warning until 8 o'clock Saturday night for Anderson, Coffee, Douglas, Franklin, Jefferson, Osage, and Shawnee counties. An extreme heat warning until 9 o'clock Friday night for the Greater Kansas City Metro. A heat advisory till 8 p.m. Saturday for Brown, Jackson, Lyon, and Waubonsie counties. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is... You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition, we know asking guests direct questions leads to more complete answers. Questions such as...
How significant is that?
Why did it get to be so difficult?
And what do you think is going to happen next?
To really understand what's happening, you have to understand why it's happening in the first place. Get the answers with us every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can do that tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition is the show. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well, and many other frequencies. Always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also stream us via app, a version for iOS and a version for Android, wherever you prefer to get apps.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
Still have a few minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations tonight, stay tuned at 7:01 for news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. I think Jake is your host, Jake Armitage. Pretty sure it's Jake tonight. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in Headquarters, Kansas, offering confidential crisis counseling by phone, text, and chat to Kansans in need 24 hours a day. Online at kansas988.org.
91 degrees in Atchison, feels like it's 100. It is 10 minutes before 7.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Fisher Investments. Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From DuckDuckGo, who believes that AI is hard to avoid right now. That's why they made a version of their private search engine without AI. Learn more at duckduckgo.com. From Procter & Gamble, maker of Metamucil, made with psyllium, a plant-based fiber that helps support digestive health by trapping and removing waste, designed to be taken every day. Learn more at Metamucil.com. And from the Kauffman Foundation.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, we report on history as we know it and as it's happening. Connect the latest headlines back to the past every morning on NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is the program starting off your day with the latest news and more.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Ortho Kansas, providing advanced orthopedic care to help patients stay healthy and active. More information is available at lmh.org/orthokansas.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. News headlines coming up in 1 minute. It is followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music, followed by Jazz in the Night. Tom Parkinson is your host tonight.
Support for KPR comes from Riverette Print and Skate, screen printing and skateboard supply under one roof, located in North Lawrence at 608 North 2nd Street, with all the latest boards, safety gear, and more. Information at riverettks.com.
Whenever you're online, be sure to visit kansaspublicradio.org. At the website, you can view playlists from classical or jazz or retro cocktail hour or trail mix. All kinds of things to see. You can even catch up on local news stories you may have missed or become a KPR member. We like that one especially. Plus, you can listen to KPR on the web anytime. Visit kansaspublicradio.org. The time is 7:01. News is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is defending his latest financial disclosures, showing that he made more than $1 billion in crypto earnings last year. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports the document shows the president has a vast array of income streams.
The cryptocurrency earnings include more than $500 million related to World Liberty Financial, the crypto business founded in part by Trump and his sons. It also includes more than $600 million from a company that set up a meme coin related to his inauguration. The form shows the large sums Trump took in related to properties bearing his name. He took in more than $50 million from both his golf course in Scotland and his golf course near Washington, D.C., for example. Trump products also brought in money. He took in $4.7 million from Trump watches. The president's financial disclosure document totals 927 pages. In comparison, President Biden's 2020 disclosure form was 11 pages long. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News, The White House.
A second federal judge has blocked a proposal by the U.S. Postal Service to change how it handles mail-in ballots. NPR's Hansilo Wong reports the proposal aims to carry out President Trump's executive order to restrict voting by mail.
So far, the U.S. Postal Service's proposal and Trump's order have not directly affected mail-in voting. But last month, USPS proposed not delivering mail-in ballots in any states that refuse to turn over their voter lists to the federal government. Federal judge in D.C. has now ruled that proposal violates an earlier settlement agreement that the Postal Service signed with the NAACP. It requires USPS to prioritize timely delivery of election mail. Last week, a federal judge in Boston blocked the Postal Service's proposal after finding that USPS has no legal authority to control mail-in voting. The judge also found that Trump's directives overstep his authority under the Constitution, which gives power to state legislatures and Congress to set federal election rules. Anzila Wong, NPR News.
The U.S. Postal Service is a financial supporter of NPR. Nearly 50 million people are under extreme heat warnings in the central and eastern U.S., and the warnings will spread. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports fans who are attending World Cup soccer matches in several cities will feel it.
The July 4th match in Philadelphia is shaping up to be the hottest of all, with temperatures around 100 degrees that day and high humidity that will make it feel even hotter. Matches in New Jersey, Kansas City, and Miami will all be affected by high temperatures as well. FIFA, the governing body for international soccer, did not respond to questions from NPR about whether cooling protections, such as misters and free water for fans and workers, will be available at matches this week. Heat waves are peaking at higher temperatures than in the past, and the average number of heat waves the U.S. experiences today has doubled since the 1980s because of climate change. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
The owner of AOL and other tech businesses, Bending Spoons, hit Wall Street today with a $1.7 billion initial public offering. It jumped 41% shortly after starting to trade. This is NPR.
Stardate July 1st. A Japanese spacecraft is scheduled to pay a call on an asteroid this weekend. The encounter won't last long. The craft will buzz by at about 12,000 miles per hour. This is the second asteroid encounter for Hayabusa 2, which launched in 2014. Its main mission was a detailed study of the asteroid Ryugu. It orbited the asteroid for a year and a half. It gathered a few grams of dust and pebbles and dropped them off at Earth in late 2020. Studies have shown that the samples contain all the key ingredients of DNA, the building blocks of life. Hayabusa then continued its trek, and this weekend it'll pass by the asteroid Toifuna, a chunk of rock about a quarter of a mile in diameter. Toifuna's average distance from the Sun is just a fraction farther than Earth's distance. But its path is lopsided, so it regularly crosses Earth's orbit. It's not currently a threat to hit our planet, but it could be sometime in the distant future. Right now, the asteroid is at its closest point to the Sun, and about 60 million miles from Earth. Hayabusa will scan it with several instruments as it swings by, but the high speed makes that tough. The entire spacecraft has to turn to keep the asteroid in view, and it can't turn fast enough to keep an eye on it through the entire encounter. So it'll have to settle for a quick glimpse as it blazes by this potentially hazardous asteroid. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Hey, we get another night to be together. My pleasure to be hanging out with you on a Wednesday night. Just like old times. Haydn's Symphony No. 82, known as The Bear, in about 20 minutes. And why is that? Well, I'll do my best to explain, as best I understand it. This is the Scherzo Capriccioso by Dvorak, with Andre Previn conducting the L.A. Philharmonic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
the Scherzo Capriccioso by Dvorak, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, conducted there by Andre Previn. Our music tonight is supported by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination with small ship, river, ocean, and expedition voyages, offering cultural enrichment and immersive experiences. Discover more at viking.com. Here from Florence Price, this is called Adoration, played by the Isidore String Quartet. Adoration by Florence Price, played there by the Isidore String Quartet.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Lawrence Buskerfest, presenting a quarterfinal game viewing party on July 11th, 4 to 11 p.m., celebration in South Park, and viewing party in Miscellany's. More at lawrencebuskerfest.com. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, working with individuals, families, and communities to promote independent living and individual choice to persons with disabilities. More information at rcilinc.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 89 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. It's 89 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Why exactly is Haydn's Symphony No. 82 nicknamed the Bear? First of all, again, this is not a name that Haydn gave it himself. It's like most of his nicknamed symphonies. Somebody else came up with it. Well, apparently the melody of the final movement reminded 18th century listeners of a dancing bear. Lots of questions, I know. Why a bear? Why a dancing one? Why not a bear riding a horse or something else equally ridiculous? Well, would you believe? Dancing bears actually used to be a thing. Like, not just at circuses, but as street entertainment. I know, we think of modern life as being weird, but the past was just as weird, just in different ways. Anyway, the kind of music I guess you might hear accompanying a dancing bear would be something perhaps played on an accordion or a hurdy-gurdy that sounded kind of like the final movement of this work. Stranger Than Fiction. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Symphony No. 82, known as The Bear by Haydn, was the L.A. Chamber Orchestra conducted by Christoph Perrick.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. It's 87 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
An American composer's music played by a very American ensemble here. It's the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band, led by Lowell Graham. The Ballad for Band by Morton Gould.
Thank you.
It's called simply Ballad for Band by American composer Morton Gould. That was the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band, led there by Lowell Graham.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. It's 87 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Jennifer Higdon's violin concerto doesn't waste any time in getting very busy. There's no big orchestral tutti section at the beginning setting the scene. The violin dives in. Not with a big romantic melody like, say, Mendelssohn's concerto, but with pure fireworks. It's not just showy, though. Higdon's work was awarded the Pulitzer for Music in 2010. Hilary Hahn is going to play it for us. American music in a week when we're highlighting quite a bit of it on this Wednesday night. I'm Steve Seal.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Qatar's Prime Minister met in Doha today with White House envoys Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. They discussed the next steps in the interim peace deal with Iran. NPR's Ayo Batrawi reports Iran's delegation arrived in Qatar, but won't hold direct talks with the U.S. envoys.
Qatar says its Prime Minister, Mohammed Al-Thani, discussed the interim peace deal with the White House envoys and the situation in Lebanon, where there's a shaky ceasefire. The Health Ministry there says Israeli attacks have killed more than 40 people in the past 2 weeks. Iran says its negotiators are discussing with Qatari mediators the need for a full Israeli withdrawal from southern Lebanon in talks today in Doha. Iran's foreign ministry says its delegation is also raising the issue of the release of billions of dollars in frozen assets as part of the deal signed with the U.S. The talks in Qatar come just days after Iran and the U.S. traded fire following Iranian attacks on ships transiting the Strait of Hormuz without its permission. Ayo Batrawi, NPR News, Dubai.
A federal judge has ordered the Defense Department to lift its requirement that journalists be accompanied by an escort while in the Pentagon. The ruling's another legal setback to the Trump administration's effort to restrict media coverage of the Pentagon. Most Americans feel proud of their country, but are also worried about its future. The latest NPR PBS News Marist poll points to how Americans are feeling ahead of its 250th birthday. Mahum Javed has more.
Looking ahead, most Americans think America's best days are yet to come. Jason Withington works in information technology in Missouri and identifies as a moderate. He thinks America's future is promising as long as certain things are taken care of.
In order for our economy to keep growing and for my kids' generation and my grandkids' generation, we got to get the debt under control.
When asked to think ahead to America's 300th birthday, the majority of Americans say they're not too confident or not confident at all about the future for up-and-coming generations. Mahum Javed, NPR News.
Scientists say they've taken a big step towards creating a fully functional synthetic cell. NPR's Rob Stein has more.
Researchers at the University of Minnesota say they made their cell from scratch in their laboratory. Other scientists have previously engineered cell-like structures, but the Minnesota researchers say their creation, dubbed the Spud cell, is the first that can perform some of the key functions of living cells. Those include the ability to feed, grow, divide, and spontaneously develop new capabilities. Much more work is needed, but the researchers say their cells could someday have many important uses, including helping produce new medicines. Critics, however, worry that synthetic cells could pose future risks. Rob Stein, NPR News.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Heart disease is the number one killer of women in the U.S., accounting for roughly 1 in 3 deaths each year. But what if a simple conversation could be the key to your heart's health?
My name is Sarah Fenn, and I am a second-year master's student at Kansas State University in the School of Health Sciences, and my research focuses on how menopause and other female-specific time points affect the trajectory of their cardiovascular health.
What do we know about women's heart health?
So before menopause, women actually have better heart health than men. But menopause accelerates risk factors that mean after menopause, women are more likely to develop heart disease.
What was the idea behind your research?
So menopause is a time when women are likely seeing their doctors more frequently, and we wanted to know if something as simple as a conversation where your doctor just recommended lifestyle changes like improving exercise or diet could actually have a meaningful impact on heart health trajectory during a transition when heart health usually declines.
And what did you find?
We found that women who reported receiving lifestyle recommendations from their doctor actually had much better cardiovascular risk profiles as they moved through menopause and into postmenopause.
What would you like to see happen with this research?
So the goal of our research is to open that line of communication between women and their healthcare providers using shared decision making to take inspired action and tangible steps toward improving not only their own heart health, but the heart disease burden of women in Kansas and the United States.
Learn more about research at Kansas State University by visiting k-state.edu/news or visit our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Yervi. Good to have you here for classical music on this Wednesday night. My name is Steve Seal. Maurice Ravel's Alborada del Grazioso, or Morning Song of the Jester, played here by Christoph von Dachnany and the Cleveland Orchestra. opening song of The Jester. And you can hear the jesting in that music of Maurice Ravel. Cleveland Orchestra conducted by Christophe von Dachnagy.
Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. It's 87 and fair. That's KPR weather.
American music a little bit more in the spotlight this week as we count down to the 4th of July holiday this weekend. Contemporary composer Jennifer Higdon wrote her violin concerto for the violinist Hilary Hahn, and it was given its world premiere by Hahn and the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra back in 2009. And the following year, Higdon was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Music for this piece, the panel describing it as a deeply engaging piece that combines flowing lyricism with dazzling virtuosity. Nice to have Hilary Hahn on hand to play it as well. And it's Vasily Petrenko to conduct the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra as well. The violin concerto by Jennifer Higdon. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Pulitzer Prize-winning music there from the American composer Jennifer Higdon. Her violin concerto, written expressly for the violinist whom we heard playing it there, Hilary Hahn, who performed along with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, conducted by Vasily Petrenko. I'm Steve Seal, sitting in for Jake Armbruding tonight. My pleasure to be with you on a Wednesday, just like old times. This is the group Anonymous Four, with the addition of Bruce Molsky adding vocals here, too. Shall We Gather by the River? Anonymous Four, they retired quite a few years ago now, no longer performing live, but so wonderful that we have all those great recordings of them. They were joined there by Bruce Molsky as well, just very faintly tucked in there. Shall We Gather by the River?
Thank you.
Here is the impromptu number 2 in F sharp by Chopin, played by Arthur Rubinstein. There's a classic recording, an oldie but a goodie, Arthur Rubinstein at the piano with music of Frédéric Chopin, his impromptu number 2 in F sharp major. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 86 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. It's 86 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A new financial disclosure shows President Trump and his family raked in more than $1 billion from cryptocurrency ventures in the past year. Associated Press reporter Bernard Condon says the speed that Trump made the money is surprising.
His property business, at least according to my judgment, is growing at the fastest it has in the century since the Trump Organization, his family business, started. And yet, crypto triumphs.
Trump also took in tens of millions from new properties in countries beholden to the U.S. for military support or seeking tariff relief, and he got tens of millions more suing media companies. The White House says the president has no financial conflicts and only acts in the public interest. With the latest Supreme Court session now over, President Trump and his administration have a lot of wins and some high-profile losses. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, Trump is celebrating an expansion of presidential power.
The Supreme Court upheld birthright citizenship and earlier in the term blocked the president's sweeping tariffs. But it also delivered wins for him and his party, allowing Trump to strictly limit even legal immigration and making it easier for red states to redraw congressional district lines in favor of Republicans. In a social media post assessing the court's term, Trump crowed that the decision clearing the way for Trump to fire commissioners at federal agencies, quote, gives tremendous additional power back to the presidency where it belongs. He adds, the Republican Party was treated very fairly by the United States Supreme Court. Tamara Keith, NPR News, the White House.
The Justice Department is going after state gun laws that it calls unconstitutional. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz reports on two lawsuits that challenge gun bans in California and Virginia.
In California, a newly enacted law bans dealers from selling certain Glock and Glock-style pistols. In Virginia, state lawmakers recently banned the purchase and sale of semi-automatic rifles. In these two lawsuits, the Justice Department cites recent decisions from the Supreme Court that struck down restrictions on gun owners, including one decision from just a few days ago. The suits also say both states' laws violate the Second Amendment. The DOJ is asking two federal judges to put a stop to these bans. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
Former CIA Director John Brennan is suing the Trump administration, demanding a court to order officials to preserve records from investigations that are targeting him. Brennan says the records would be essential for him to mount a defense on vindictive prosecution grounds in the event of a future indictment brought by the administration. No charges have been brought, and the Department of Justice has denied claims of weaponization. Most U.S. stocks rose today, but drops for some influential technology companies kept the market in check. This is NPR. Lines are growing at Russian gas stations as several months of Ukrainian attacks have sent oil refineries ablaze and choked supplies. Fuel rationing has been introduced in many regions. The fuel crisis has brought Moscow's invasion of Ukraine home to ordinary Russians. President Putin acknowledged the problems for motorists and businesses. A fast-spreading fire in Colorado has burned around 155 structures and prompted evacuations. The fire is currently burning 35,000 acres with 0% containment. From member station KRCC, Brianna Heaney has more.
Officials say the Aspen Acres fire ballooned from a few hundred to more than 20,000 acres over the course of 12 hours. It began burning Monday morning and has led authorities to declare mandatory evacuations for multiple towns and areas. Ned Pittman is a resident of the town of Beulah, which is under an evacuation order. He says he left his home unaware of the fire and was not allowed to return. He believes his home has burned.
I cried a bunch yesterday when I just initially seen it. And I'm in shock now. It's devastating how fast your life can change in 24 hours.
The fire is the largest of six major fires in the state. For NPR News, I'm Brianna Heaney in Colorado Springs.
Martial arts icon and San Francisco native Bruce Lee will become the first Chinese American in California history with an annual namesake day. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law officially designating May 17th as Bruce Lee Day, the day in 1959 that an 18-year-old Lee returned to San Francisco after spending his childhood in Hong Kong. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Melville Charitable Trust, committed to ensuring all people have a safe, stable, and affordable home that allows them to thrive. Information about ways to prevent and solve homelessness is at melvilletrust.org.
Welcome to All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. Let's get this hour started straight away with something from the Matheny-Meldau Quartet, Pat Matheny and Brad Meldau on guitar and piano, with Larry Grenadier on the bass and Jeff Ballard is on the drums. Here's one that Pat Matheny and Brad Meldau composed together. They called it A Night Away.